Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's probably no greater summary of God's love than what we have in John 3:16. Martin Luther called it the miniature gospel. I've always heard it described that it's the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16 was a verse through which D.L. Moody came to appreciate the greatness of God's love. Moody had been on a trip to England in the first days of his ministry, and there he met a young English preacher named Henry Morehouse. One day, Morehouse mentioned to Moody, "Well, I'm thinking about going to America." And Moody said, "Well, if you should ever get to Chicago, come down to my church and I will give you a chance to preach." Well, Moody wasn't meaning to be hypocritical about it. He was just merely wanting to be polite. Nevertheless, saying this, he hoped Morehead wouldn't show up because he had never heard Morehouse preach. He had no idea what he'd say. You know, you got to be careful about that. Well, sometime later, after Moody had returned to Chicago, he received a telegram from Morehouse saying, "Have just arrived in New York. We'll be in Chicago on Sunday." Moody was perplexed. What do I do? And what complicated the matters was that he was scheduled to leave for a series of meetings outside the city. You know, here I'm going to be gone on Sunday. Morehouse is coming. And I promised him that I'd let him preach. Finally, he said to his wife and the leaders in the church, "I think that I should let him preach just once. So let him preach once. Then if the people enjoy him, put him up there again." So Moody was gone for a week. When he returned, of course, he asked his wife, "Well, how did the young preacher do?" "Oh, he was a much better preacher than you are. He is telling sinners that God loves them." "That's not right," said Moody. "God does not love sinners." "Well, you go and hear him." "What? Do you mean to tell me that he's still preaching?" "Yes. And he's been preaching all week. And he's only worked on one verse, one text, John 3:16. Well, Moody went to the meeting. Morehouse got up and he began saying, "I've been hunting for a text, and I have not been able to find a better text than John 3:16. So I think I will talk about it once more." And he did. It is said that Moody that night, for the first time, clearly understood the greatness of God's love. I'm sure we all know and are familiar with this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone or whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Only one sentence, 27 words. From this one verse, we can find a number of wonderful truths concerning the love of God. "For God so loved the world." The world is the cosmos. It's defined the ungodly multitude, the mass of mankind alienated from God. This is the world that God loved. Now, if we were to picture a world that's pristine, a world in which the Creator had a fresh view of, not affected by evil, well, we could consider how God desired to love. But this wayward world, which not only failed to recognize its maker, in John 1:10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Besides that, openly hated God's approach, John 15:18. "If the world hates you," which it has, "you know that it has hated me before it hated you." And yet, God's love is not based upon a spiritual condition. It's not based upon our behavior or our attitude toward Him. God's love for human beings is absolute and it's unrestricted. God so. It was shared with me just this past Wednesday that a woman is working on a Bible study, and while she was working on the Bible study, she was reflecting on the word so. And it made me think. I mean, I love it when people share different things because it gets me thinking. And as she has been studying it, of realizing that the need of loving or serving God more. Okay, well, we have in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I think about the song, I can still see my son at about 5 or 6 years old singing, "My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." And just singing his heart out. So great, so mighty. God's so loved the world. It's with an intensity of love. He who without end or beginning of existence has with an infinite greatness loved those who were on the earth, creatures full of sin. That great vast love God gave, not a servant, not an angel, not an archangel. He gave His Son. In King James, He has given His only begotten Son. And there's another so, when thinking about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It is to shine brightly, greatly, infinitely. This love, this grace, sets Him apart from any other religion, any other god. You know, the Buddhists follow the Four Noble Truths. It's not a gift of grace. It's works. Hindus believe in karma, and their actions continually affect the way the world will treat you. But there's nothing that comes to you that is of grace. You know, we're hearing reports of the Muslim countries, people in droves are converting to Christianity because Islam is a god of judgment, not of love. They don't even have a word for love. And they're so sick and tired of all of the wars and the battles and the violence. I mean, they're primed to hear about God's love, His infinite, vast love. Only Christianity dares to proclaim that God's love is absolute. A love that is in the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Christian writer Philip Yancey once wrote, "There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. God so loved the world that He gave." God loved us by giving, by serving, by sacrificing. He gave. And what were the results of His giving love, His sacrificial love? My dad was an accountant and a treasurer in the last days, but as an accountant, it used to be that the accounts of someone would be kept in bound, usually leather-bound books, and you would see what, you know, how much debt was still owed, and it would be by hand. And a picture, if being able to picture your name, and it has the amount of debt, and it's more than what you could pay. Well, what has happened is that God, by the action of giving His Son, transferred that debt to His Son. So what was there as a blank space, what is even more marvelous, is that God gave His Son's righteousness into each of our accounts. You are now righteous. You are debt-free. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Not only was God willing to give, but He was willing to give all that he had, his only son. You know, it's one thing to give out of abundance, but how loving would God to describe, to realize God giving his one and only son? There was a child that was working on memorizing John 3:16 in the King James Version, where it uses his only begotten son. Well, the child misquoted and he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. Now, that tongue-in-cheek slip carries a lot of truth today, because so many people in the world have forgotten Jesus Christ. That his life is forgotten. His love is forgotten. His sacrifice is forgotten. And we're working on the book of Judges in the Bible class. And one of the things that we looked at this morning was, God understands our loss of memory, our amnesia. And so what did he do is he provided something called the Lord's Supper. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this so that you remember me. And how quickly, as human beings, we forget the magnitude of his generous gift of giving his son and setting us free from our own sin. The son that is in us. That life in us should be the light that illuminates through us. Again, as I used earlier, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What God has done, that whoever believes in him may not perish. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to provide life through his name. He didn't come to rebuke the world. He came to rescue the world. You and me. He didn't come to punish the world. He came to pardon. He didn't come to destroy. He came to deliver. He came that you should not perish, but have eternal life. The way we allow Jesus to live through us can make an impact on those around us. Our lives can make a difference. More than 60 years ago at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, there was a young sociology professor that assigned his class a project to interview 200 city youth that were residing in the downtown slums, and he asked them to predict their future. The students at that time predicted 90% would serve time in prison. That same professor, 25 years later, asked that class to track down those original boys and discover what happened. 180 of the 200 were located. Out of that 100, only 4 had ever been in jail. And they then examined, why were the predictions so far off? It was found out that over 100 of the boys mentioned had a strong influence of a teacher. The students located the teacher. Her name was Sheila O'Rourke, and she now was residing in a nursing home in Memphis. She was puzzled by their interest in her, and she then all she could say is, all I ever did is that I loved each of them. There's a power of love. The result of one teacher's love totally changed the predictions of the outcome of these boys. That's to be the result of letting people realize the result of God's love for each of us. God's love for each of us that gives us eternal life. Wasn't it that Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 13, there was faith, hope, and love? But the greatest of these is love. And so we're called to be people of reconciliation, people of forgiveness, people of love. Let me close with this story. Years ago, there was a young man. He had had a quarrel with his dad. He left home. He kept touch with his mom. Well, there came a point when he so badly wanted to come home for Christmas, but he was afraid to. because he didn't know if his father would allow him. Well, his mother wrote to him and urged him to come home, but he did not feel that he could until he knew that his father had forgiven him. Got to the point that there was no time to exchange any more letters. So his mother wrote to him and said she would talk to his father, and if he had forgiven him, she would tie a white cloth on the tree. He was going to be coming in on the train, which grew along the railroad tracks near the home. And he knew what tree she was referring to. If there was no white cloth, it would be better that if he just went on. Well, the young man started home, and he had invited a friend to come with him. And the closer he got to the town, he said, I'm so nervous. He asked a friend, I said, I can't bear to look, he said. Sit in my place, look out the window, and tell me what the tree looks like. And you tell me whether there's a white cloth on it. They exchanged seats, and the friend looked out the window, and a few moments later, the friend said, oh yes, I see the tree. The young man asked, is there a white cloth tied to it? For a moment, the friend said nothing. Then he turned with a very gentle voice. He said, there's a white cloth tied to every limb. In a sense, is that not the message? Jesus is that the Heavenly Father ties on every limb the message, you are forgiven. Come home. Come home. There was a tree that Jesus was nailed to. It was called a cross at Calvary. And by he being placed on that tree, that cross, the message is it's safe to come home. What Jesus has done for you and me, and let me just say it for myself, what Jesus has done for me overwhelms my soul. He transferred that ledger of a debt that I could never pay. He paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. He wiped the slate clean, and then he placed in place of that his righteousness with the assurance of eternal life, now and forever. That is the love we talk about, of what God has given. That is the power of eternal love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That is the good news. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what love that you have continually always had upon your creation, that in spite of our sin, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our apathy toward you, you have continued to shower your infinite love. May our hearts and minds be filled with that love. May we cherish this precious gift. May we not forget the price that was paid in order for us to have a freedom, but also have the promise, the assurance of life that is eternal and everlasting. May our lives just light up. Light up from that generous gift of your Son. The infinite love, the intensity of love. We praise you, we thank you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.